Thank you very much, Alberto, and thanks to all of you. I'm very pleased to be here tonight. Emergency started its presence here in Pittsburgh a few years ago, and it's a great honor to be in this event where, with this very good turnout, and even more important, with this very committed people who are helping to make things happening. As Alberto mentioned, tomorrow there will be a small ceremony. We're going to break a bottle of wine on a container on his way to Kabul, and inside the container there will be many, many things. Among the most important, new intensive care unit beds. And I start from there. We have in the emergency surgical center in Kabul an intensive care unit, 6 beds. We plan to extend it to 10 beds next year if we'll have the resources. But these 6 beds are the only intensive care unit beds in Afghanistan, a country of 25 million people who has 6 ICU beds. This is a crime. And there are many other crimes committed every day in Afghanistan by leaving millions and millions of people without any kind of medical care. A lot has been said and about reconstruction of Afghanistan. We in Afghanistan did not see it. What we see every day is exactly destruction and destruction and destruction again. Emergency is very much linked to Afghanistan. Not only me personally, I was in Afghanistan in 91 and 92, even before emergency was started. But then we went back in early 99. And we started to work in the Panjshir Valley that was at that time a sort of closed enclave, to the point that to get in, we had to ask the commander, Ahmad Shah Massoud, to give us a ride on his own military helicopters. There was no way we could cross the very high mountains separating Afghanistan from the Central European Republic, Central Asian Republic, in fact. And it was a dreadful situation. In the entire valley, there was no one medical facility. There were 150,000 refugees who had escaped from military activities along the front line. At that time, the front line was just outside the valley, and the Mujahideen troops were confronting the Taliban troops. And all the people who lived outside the valley had to escape, and they were all in Panjshir, homeless, without food, without medical help, just abandoned. And that's how we started to work in Afghanistan, transforming a chasm, a sort of police academy, into a hospital. It took months and months of hard work because no construction materials were available. There was no cement, no sand, no glasses, no pipes, nothing to build. So we had to use a lot of fantasy, and very often we were forced to recycle military equipment to be transformed into something that we could use to build this hospital. The hospital after that has been renovated several times, and now is a general hospital in the Panjshir Valley. Some of the photographs that you will see here have been taken in that hospital. And that hospital serves the civilian population there with the Department of Surgery, Pediatrics, Emergency Medicine, and within the same compound with a beautiful maternity hospital. A year later, we decided to establish a second hospital in the capital city in Kabul, at that time controlled by the Taliban. The reason was very simple. We didn't want to be perceived as an organization who was taking sides, who was active only on one side of the front line. So we went to Kabul and negotiated with the Taliban, with the health authorities of the Taliban, and that's how we took the decision to establish a surgical center in Kabul that is still operational today. A center where victims of war are treated every day, and also other trauma cases. We receive basically 350 new admissions every month, severe cases, victims of bullets, bomb explosions, landmines, but also road traffic accidents. Throughout these years, the percentage of children has been constantly above 30%. Both victims of war or victims or other kinds of traumas. And again, that's the only hospital in Afghanistan that has an intensive care unit, that has a CT scan, that can provide high standard care for the population. As you know, after 2001, Afghanistan saw a new phase in the war and a new military occupation, which is continuing today. And again, there was no front line between Kabul and Panjshir, so our two hospitals, in fact, were on the same side at that time. So we felt it was necessary to establish a third hospital in a very remote area in Lashkarga, which is west of Kandahar, in what is considered a Taliban-controlled area, close to the Iranian border. And we did that to prove once again that we just care about the needs of the population and we do not care about politics. That we want to do the same things for everyone, regardless the ethnic group, regardless religious affiliations, regardless political affiliations, keeping equality and gender equality in our services. At the same time, we have developed other projects. Alberto mentioned the clinics and first aid posts, a network that is around our hospitals, because one of the problems still today in Afghanistan is the possibility for a wounded person to be transported to our surgical centers. There are very few roads are paved, transport is scarce or non-existing from remote areas. So this network helped a lot to ensure a quick and safe referral of the patients to our hospitals. At the same time, we had problems with prisoners. We have been visiting prisons and we saw the dreadful conditions where prisoners were kept and they were asking help. So we have established clinics also inside all the prisons of Afghanistan to make sure that prisoners, regardless the reason why they are kept in jail, they can have access to medical and surgical care when they are in need, to make sure they receive food, to make sure they receive a blanket in winter time when temperature goes to minus 20 Celsius. And we had programs for the widows, setting up a carpet factory, setting up social activities, looking after the orphans in that horrible place that was the main orphanage in Kabul. And the program has expanded throughout these years, and it will probably expand once again next year. We plan to get involved more and more in providing surgical care, but also in providing rehabilitation for the Afghan population. I must admit that I consider Afghanistan my second home, or maybe the first one. I have many, many Afghan friends, and I was always touched by witnessing the tragedies they go through, and at the same time, the dignity they are able to show every time. Afghan people have suffered something that for us is just unthinkable. 25 million people, almost 2 million were killed so far by the war. And even in these days, a lot of people are killed, maimed, and wounded. It is 5 months now that there are many more victims in Afghanistan than in Iraq, although this information is not spread enough. 2 million people killed, 1.5 people are disabled, 4 million people were forced to leave their houses and live in refugee camps. And all this huge amount of suffering has been taken by the Afghan population with very, very little help and very little concern from the so-called international community. It seems like most governments are more interested in controlling the territory and controlling the resources. It seems they are more interested in trying to reinforce this or that government, this or that regime, this or that warlord or dictator, than in helping the Afghan people. And that's why our programs in Afghanistan has been the largest of the emergency programs so far, because we felt that the humanitarian tragedy that happened in Afghanistan and is still ongoing in Afghanistan is just unprecedented. Today, here in the United States, for instance, there's a lot of attention to another humanitarian tragedy, the one that is occurring in Sudan, in Darfur particularly. Well, I've been in Darfur. I can tell you that that tragedy seems very little if compared with the tragedy of the Afghan people, if compared with what the Afghan people have to go through in the past 30 years. So I'm very happy that once again our friends and volunteers here in Pittsburgh decided to do something for Afghanistan. Alberto himself has been there, he has seen the hospitals, he has witnessed what the situation is like. And the fact that we can continue to raise awareness about Afghanistan is very important. Those people do not need any foreign military presence. They need foreigners who are also friends, who are there and work with them, trying to implement what we consider something that is due to everybody, starting with the health system. There is simply no health system in Afghanistan. Even today, 50% of the Afghan population has never seen a doctor, a nurse, or a tablet. And that's because all the resources are utilized for war and military operations and to get a few people extremely rich. That's why I wanted to make sure to be here in time for this event in Pittsburgh and for tomorrow's event with a third container going to Afghanistan. You can be sure that what has been done here throughout your action, through the involvement and passion and commitment of many people, starting from the young students, you can be sure that all this will have an impact, will help to change the life of some people down there. Emergency is now involved in different projects in different countries. One of the most important now is precisely in Sudan. We are opening in a few months, probably towards the end of January, a center of excellence in cardiac surgery just outside Khartoum. And we are very proud of that, because opening a center of excellence in cardiac surgery means moving one step forward, not limiting our action to responding to urgent needs dictated by war, but also building something that is a basic human right, the right to be cured. And human rights, by definition, are universal. As long as we keep our rights, and then we leave Africa without a proper medical care, as long as we consider that medicine should be a two-speed phenomenon, technological, sophisticated, effective for the rich countries, and then just a few tablets and maybe a few drugs about to expire for Africa, we won't be able to pass a message which is crucial, particularly in these days. And the message is that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. It's not a new message. It was written in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It's in fact the Article 1 that was signed by everybody back in 1945 and then forgotten. We have to take back that principle, particularly in a situation where most world governments see war as the solution to all problems. We know that for the citizens of this planet, not for the governments, but for the citizens of this planet, war is never a solution. War is exactly the problem, because war is what makes the people poor, hungry, displaced. War is what kills and maims and wounds. And therefore, the only real alternative to war, the only prophylaxis to war, is the construction and the building up of human rights, of all human rights for all. Same rights for everybody. And that's why we are proud to go to Sudan and establish this center that will serve not only the Sudanese citizens, but all the neighboring countries. You see, too often in the media, we hear about globalization and the global village. If you take Khartoum as the center, and then consider the area all around in Sudan and in the 9 countries bordering Sudan, we are talking about an immense area of more than 3 times the size of Europe. In that entire area, where 300 million people live, roughly the population of the United States, there's no one center of cardiac surgery high standard and free of charge for the population. I think it's time to build it up, to show that we consider these people as having equal rights as we have. An emergency is also planning next year to start a new hospital in another country, which is not afflicted by war at the moment, but is afflicted by poverty, and is Nicaragua. We are just signing in these days an agreement with the health authorities to build a women's hospital in León, another center of excellence. Well, we will treat their gynecological cases. We will do obstetrics and neonatology. Not a general hospital, just a hospital focusing on maternity and gynecology and neonatology. These are our plans for the next year. The hospital in León will be finished within a year and a half, probably. So by 2008, towards the end of 2008, probably, even that hospital will be functioning. And I'm sure that As you have done for Afghanistan, you will show again the same interest and the same support for the Sudan project and for the Nicaragua project. We need to mobilize the consciousness of people. We need to stimulate their awareness, and that will hopefully trigger the solidarity. I'm sure that if we continue as we have done in the past year in the United States, trying to build up groups of volunteers and supporters of our activities, I'm sure that will make all our projects possible. Thank you very, very much for your work and for your attention.
Any questions for Dr. Strada? Anybody who wants to take advantage of his presence here to ask a question?